Today's shir is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Lamed Ches. We will begin on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. We continue discussing the halacha of somebody sold trees to someone else. At what point is the land under the tree included or what not? Says Gemara, Hai Man Dezom Adikla L'Chavrei, somebody sold a palm tree to someone else. Kanalei, the buyer of this tree has ownership, says the Gemara, Mishpulei ad tahoima, from the top of the ground all the way to the depths of the earth to where the tree is standing. There are many Rishonim that ask a question on this pshat, because the Gemara in the Mishnah, which we've quoted in previous shiurim, on that Pei Aleph Amud Aleph says explicitly that if somebody buys only one or two trees, that the buyer has no right to replant those trees after they die. So how does the Gemara indicate that the buyer of the tree owns that land? Doesn't that Mishnah clearly say not like that? So the Shita Mekubetzes quotes Rabbeinu Meir that differentiates between a date palm and other trees. He says that the Gemara on that Pei Amud Beis teaches us that once a date palm begins to wither away, pruning its dead branches will not help rejuvenate it, as is the case with other trees. Says Nahadoi that the Mishnah's halacha limiting a buyer's rights that he only owns the tree as long as the tree lives, is only regarding ordinary trees, which can be pruned and can have a long life expectancy. Now, Doi is speaking about Todei plum, which can't be fixed, it can't be pruned, and if it's going to die, it's going to be useless. That's why now Doi is teaching us that one who buys a Todei plum, presumably is intending to purchase the right to replant it when it dies, because otherwise it has a very short life expectancy. So in other words, the Gemara that we're speaking about here is teaches us the Shita Mekubetzes, is speaking specifically about a date palm that has these unique fact. Maskev lo Rava, and Rava asks a question on what Nadoi just said, that the owner of the tree owns it all the way to the bottom, says the Gemara Velemalei, why can't the seller say to the buyer, Kurkuma derishka zvinilach, I sold you the tree for its lifespan. Just like the Gemara is saying, explain the Rishonim, that a person who buys a vegetables, kurkuma derashma is saffron, a very expensive spice, only buys it for as long as he could collect that. You'll cut the vegetables and then you don't have anything else here. The person who sells kurkuma derashma says, akar kurkuma derashma, take your kurkuma derashma and zil. And here too, why should you be entitled to anything more after the tree dies? Elam Rava, says Rava, when Nadoi says that the person who buys a tree is entitled to the land that's under the tree, is speaking about a very unique situation. And that is Baba Machmas Taina, that the person who bought it is saying that when he bought this property, it was clearly indicated that he's not just buying, when he bought this tree, it was clearly indicated that he's not just buying the tree, but he's buying the property under it. And since, continues Ravan explaining, this person has a chazaka on this tree, he's been using this tree for 3 years, and that's why, as we keep on going back to the beginning of the perek, Ravan taught us, people after such an amount of time, after 3 years, don't hold on to the shtar. That's why, given that he has this claim accompanied with a chazaka, that's why he'll be able to earn, or he'll be able to own what's below, what's all the way the property is ground. Amalei mak shishibrei of chizlar vashi, says the Gemara, but you said, vikirkma dereshkna zavanlei, if the way it was sold was only sold that he should be entitled to eat the fruit, and he didn't buy the property, and the buyer who's saying that he did buy the property is saying something which is not true, says the Gemara, my havalei lemevid. What should have the seller done to what should the seller have done to prevent the buyer from being able to make such a claim? Answers the Gemara, ibayle lemechoye. He should have known that the 3 years are approaching, and if the 3 years approach and he doesn't do anything, he will be in a bad place because this person will have a chazaka. So he should have made a mecha before those 3 years came. Diloy teimahachi says the Gemara, if we won't take such an approach, we've learned previously, we learned the Masechta Baba Metzia. The halacha is that if somebody lends somebody else money, of course, the borrower may not give the lender ribbis, of course, as we learned. So the halacha is that, if the lender receives from the borrower, if the lender receives from the borrower a mashkin, he can't eat fruit from that mashkin, because then when he'll get paid the amount owed to him, it turns out that he got more than he lent, which would be ribbis. But what we learned in Masechta Metzia is this, and we've discussed this many times in our Masechta as well, there's something known as the Meshkanta Desura. Meshkanta Desura means that the lender, the malva, gets a mashkin, and they make up that every year he's going to be able to get, every year they're going to deduct from the loan a certain amount. Now, at the end, the lender may get more than he lent. At the end, he may get less than he lent, depending on how much is produced. But the Gemara said that that's a permissible approach. So says the Gemara, Hai Mashkanta Desura, when we speak about Mashkanta Desura, the Siv Bei Hochi, that the way Mashkanta Desura works, it says, B'mishlam Shnei Elin, when these years of the Mashkin are up, take Ara Dabal Kesef, I, the loiva, will get back the property, and you won't have to get, and you won't get any money. So why should we not be concerned? Ask the Gemara, Ikavish l'shtar mishkanta, that the malva will conceal the shtar mishkanta, v'aymer, and then he'll say l'kuchi biyadi, and he'll say that it's really my property, and I've been on this property all these years. Hachinami, the mehemin. He'll be believed because he's been on this property for 3 years. And as I saw, the Ramban explains, why is the Gemara focused on the Meshkanta Desura? He said, because Meshkanta Desura, as we just mentioned, was mentioned in Masechta Baba Basra as a piece of advice, something that's appropriate to do. And the Gemara's question is, Chazal would have never instituted a Meshkanta Desura which could be so abused. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, how did Chazal make it? Misakni Rabbanim Milsa Da'asabay De Pseida, would Chazal ever instituted such a advice? Ella, why did Chazal not feel a problem in instituting the Meshkanta Desura? Because it boilam chuyay, because the loiva should have been moichen, should have protested and say, you don't have a chazaka before 3 years come. Hachinami, in the same case with the tree, if somebody indeed bought the tree and did not buy the land under the tree, and therefore the halacha should be that if the tree dies, that's the end of his rights to this property, the owner, the person who sold it in those terms, should have been careful to be moicha. And then the person who has the tree, we could not say to him, well, why don't you have, we could say to him, why don't you have yishtar? The fact that he was moicha should have given you the right that the halacha is should have given him, should have given you the ability to, you should have given you the requirement to hold on to the shtar. There is a machlokes rishonim, under which circumstances can the person, the malva in this case, claim the lekuchi biyadi, and it will be a claim that we'll have to honor. Some rishonim say that if at any point we saw that there was a shtar mashkin on this property, so because we saw and knew that the malva got to this property through mishkanta the surah, so the halach will be that he will always have to hold on, and then he claims now that he bought it, there won't be a 3-year limitation. The halach is that he'll always have to hold on to the shtar, because we're always going to be able to say to him, we know you entered this field through a shtar mishkantam. There is a machloikas in the Rishonim. What's going to be an halacha? We're saying that if there were edim that know that he was on this property with a shtar mishkantam, and now the term of the shtar mishkantam is over. And we just said, if there were edim that could say that he was on this field, he entered this field with a shtar mishkantam, he has to hold on to a shtar. Does that mean he always has to hold on to the shtar? Or does it mean that if the term of the shtar mishkanta is not up, so then he has to show that he has to show a shtar that he bought it, if so he is claiming. But let's say it's 3 years, and let's say if it's 3 years after the shtar mishkanta has been expired, so even though there were edim that saw the shtar mishkanta originally, now 3 years have passed. And under those circumstances, the Rishonim that say, even though we know he entered with shtar mishkanta, he has a chazaka after that date is up. There are other Rishonim that disagree. The son of the Rosh discusses a situation where one wants to make a takana, one wants to make institute something, but it could create also problems. And the question is, we have to always evaluate, he says, when Chazal or anybody wants to make a new takana, what will be the result of that takana? And that's what he says is the lesson of this Gemara. The Gemara is saying that Chazal would never make a takana that the repercussions of that takana could be negative. And that's why the Gemara says, that we evaluate, is that really the case here? And if that were indeed the case, then we could never have made that takana. And that's important. Whenever something is instituted, it has to be completely evaluated, what is it worth or not. Says the Mishnah, Shalosh Arzus, there were 3 separate provinces in Eretz Yisrael, and they're relevant l'chazaka. Yehuda, ve'evar Yarden, ve'golol. And says the Mishnah, Haya b'Yehuda, if the owner of the property was in Yehuda, v'hechzik b'Golol, and the person who's trying to establish a chazaka, and ultimately the chazaka is supposed to lead to proof that he owns the property, that he's in Golol, or vice versa, b'Golol, v'hechzik b'Yehuda, ain't a chazaka. Achei b'Dinach, they have to be in the same province. And as we're going to be learning in the Shir, that the halachi, the reason is because it was people did not travel from one province to the other province. And since they didn't travel from one province to the other province, that's why the mecha will not be considered a valid mecha, because the mecha won't travel to the person who's in the other province. And as the Tveres Yisrael points out, the Mishnah, when it's trying to give an example of this din, specifically speaks about Golol and Yehuda. Because if the Mishnah was only speaking about Eva Yarden, and an argument could be suggested, yes, that in order to get to Eva Yarden, one has to travel. In order to get to Eva Yarden, you have to travel over a river. So of course, it's a situation that one cannot know about what's going on in the other place. But when we're speaking about Yehuda and Golol, so maybe there we're going to suggest that the people traveling, teaches us the Mishnah that, and as we're going to learn in the Gemara soon, that even Yehuda and Golol are not considered provinces where they traveled. Moreover, says the Tveres Yisrael. The Mishnah goes out of the way to say that it goes both ways, from Yehuda to Galul, which is easier to understand, and Galul to Yehuda, because the Rabbanim lived in Yehuda, the Batei Dinim were in Yehuda, Beis HaMikdash was in Yehuda. So maybe we should assume that there is travel from Galul to Yehuda. Teaches us the Mishnah that we can't assume that. But the Rishonim ask a question. The first Mishnah Masechta Gittin teaches us that if somebody brings a get from Medina Siyam, from Chutz L'Aretz Etz Yisrael, the shliach, the person who brings the get, has to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. The reason being, because of case, there's going to be a question on the get, we'll be able to have this aid who said b'fani nechtam, the shliach who said b'fani nechtam, certify the get, or because we were concerned and we're concerned about lishma. But says the Gemara Masechta Gittin that in Eretz Yisrael, a get that's delivered from one province to another province, there's no need to say b'fani nechtam, because there are she'oris mitzuyas, that people always traveling. But ask all the Rishonim, our Mishnah just taught us, as we just explained, that Yehuda and Galul don't travel on a regular basis. So some Rishonim suggest that the standard for traveling for chazaka is a different standard than there is for a get. And for a get, as long as there's somebody traveling, that's enough that it should be considered that there are people traveling. For a chazaka, you need to have a higher standard. Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yoina answer, the two Mishnayos were written at different periods of history. The Mishnah Masechta Gittin that says that there are Shioris Mitzuyas, that there are people traveling from Yehuda to Galul and back, was written in a time where that was indeed the case. Our Mishnah is referring to later times where there was less travel, and that's why a Chazaka cannot be established. The Rashba doesn't accept that teretz, because the Rashba explains that all of the Mishnayos were written at the same time. And to say that the different Mishnayos were written at different times, he finds unacceptable. And that's why Tosfos gives another teretz, and this is the teretz that the Rebbe Yoni gives, and the Rashba gives, and the Mukhe Yosef, says, whoever has a get, brings the get to Beis Din, and Beis Din goes out of its way to try to certify the get. And they'll do whatever they have to do to get the get certified. Somebody who is machzik, somebody else who takes ownership, possession of somebody else's property. So they explain, let's think about it. The person who took ownership is certainly not looking to make an issue out of it. The person who's in another place and has no idea that that's what happened also doesn't realize that he has to do anything. And that's why a get is something that people are looking to have certified. On the other hand, by a get, people are looking to certify it. By property, nobody's looking to do this kind of certification. And therefore, if there isn't easy travel between the two places, the halacha is that it's not considered a valid chazaka. At Sheheimai, unless they're together b'medina achas. Unless they're together in the same medina. So now there's a very big machlokes rishonim. What does it mean that together in one medina? Some rishonim say that if they have to be together for all 3 years, and if they weren't together for all 3 years, even though he was there partially, the halacha is that it won't be a chazaka. And other Rishonim, that's the opinion of the Rashba. The opinion of Rabbeinu Yoina is, as long as they were together for part of the 3 years, the halacha is that the person who's on the field has a right to say to the person who says that it belongs to me, so if you saw me here and you were here for part of the time, why don't you say anything? Of course, we learned earlier in our perek. If the person, even according to the Yad Ramah, that says, if he saw me, why don't you say anything? If he has a valid explanation that I was busy with something else, then that's a fair explanation. But in a case where he doesn't have such an explanation, the halacha will be that's a fair claim. But now perhaps we can explain this machloikis in a different way, a question that we've discussed previously, and that is, human nature is to wait for the last minute, and that perhaps is the machloikis of Rashba, Rabbeinu Yoina, and Yad Ramah. Yad Ramah says, if you see something, say something. And therefore, the fact that you didn't say anything is clearly an indication that you recognize and you know that this field belongs to the one who's on it. The Rashba's opinion is that people have a tendency to delay. So the fact that I was here, that the owner was here for one day and didn't say anything, perhaps it's because he thought, I don't have to say something today. I have plenty of time to say. And that's why he doesn't have a chazaka unless he was there for an entire time. But says not a Gemara, says not a Mishnah, Rabbi Huda has a different approach. The reason Chazal instituted a chazaka of 3 years, we need to be concerned that the owner of the property is in Spain. And therefore, the halacha is that the person is on the property for a year. And people will notify the owner who's in Spain that that's what's happening. And then, which takes a year. And then it's going to take him a year to come back. The Rishonim speak about a number of situations. What would be the halacha if, Tosfos discusses, if he's in a place that takes more than a year to travel? So Taisu says, once Chazal make a shear, the shear is three years, even though you maybe could find a place that will take longer to come back and forth. The Meiri quotes the Ravid that says, no, that if the person who originally owned the property could say, I was in a place that the distance was even longer than a trip of a year, the Meiri says, the Ravid says, that then he would have, then 3 years would not be the shear. The Meiri himself disagrees, and I saw that the Chasam Sofer says that even in the time of the Mishnah, there was never a distance that was so far that it took more than a year to get back and forth from one place to the other. But then I saw that the Tosfos Rid makes the point. So the Mishnah spoke about the case where he's a distance a year away. And that's why we need 3 years. What would be the chazaka? What would be the halacha if he's in a place that's a day away? So will the chazaka be 3 days? So he says no. He says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, once you're not in the same place as the property, Chazal made one standard rule of 3 years. So as the Rashbam explains, after learning the Mishnah, there actually are two machloikasin between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakama holds that a chazak is 3 years. Why? Because as we learned earlier, for 3 years people hold on to the shtar, to the deed. And therefore chazak cannot be established in 3 years. The Rabbi Yehuda holds is not because that's how long people hold on to shtar. People hold on, don't necessarily hold more or less on to the shtar. Rather, the shot is that you have to give a person a chance to come and make a claim. Another machlokes is that the Tanakhama's opinion is that a person hears about the mechah only if there's shiaros mitzuyas, if there are people traveling. And that's how the owner can hear about it, and that's how he can make a claim. If there are no shiaros mitzuyas, as we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, then there won't be any chazaka, even if it's more than 3 years. And Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that under all circumstances, 3 years is the chazaka. But it also seems from Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and we'll speak about this more in the Gemara, that he has to come and say his macha. Says the Gemara. Now let's understand the opinion of the Tanakhama. Michael Sova Tanakhama. What is the opinion of the Tanakhama? Ichas of macha shlebefano have macha. If you don't have the present to make the macha, so afil yehud v'gol nami. So what's the difference if the owner is somewhere else? He can make the macha wherever he is. Vikas of macha shlebefano have macha. So then afil yehud v'yehuda, where there is travel from one to the other, nami loy, if they're not actually together, then it should not be a valid macha. And the Tosfos points out, why is the focus on the macha? Why is the focus not on the chazaka? So Tosfos says that the focus is not on chazaka because the person who's on somebody's property, there's always a kol. Everybody is interested in hearing what's doing with my property. The macha, the person who's on the property, is actually not interested in hearing the macha. That's why the focus is on the macha. There are those that the Tumim says, that the Rashbam says, that the Rashbam's opinion is it goes both ways. It doesn't make it, the question in the Gemara is both a macha and a chazaka. Does it have to be befonav or not? Amar Rabba b'mamal amar Rav. Lo'olam kasova, the Tanakam's opinion is macha, shle befonav, have a macha. You don't have to be there to make a macha. So if that's the case, why in Yehuda and Golul is it not considered a valid mecha? As we explained, that halacha is that they're talking about a time and a place where they were not getting along, the people, there were no travel between Yehuda and Golul, and since there are no travel, the person who owns the property will not hear that somebody else is on his property. And vice versa, if he's going to make a macha, the person on the property will not hear about that macha, says the Gemara. So why does the Mishnah focus on Yehuda and Golul, asks the Gemara? The focus should be, is there travel between these two locations? Ask the Gemara, Mishnah Yehuda v'Golul d'nokat, answers the Gemara, Hakam Mashmalon. What the Mishnah wants to teach us is the Stam Yehuda v'Golul k'shas cherem dami. Then when we look at these two locations, knowing the history of these two locations, the halacha is that it's a place that there's no travel. And as I saw the Rishonim explain, that even though these were places, and we mentioned this at the beginning of the Mishnah, that even though these were places that at one point there was a lot of travel between these two places because of the Beis HaMikdash, because of the Beis HaMikdash and because of the Batei Dinim, that all changed. So the Meiri discusses, when we have two countries, what is the halacha? Do we assume, if we know that there's constant travel, so we know. If we know that there isn't, we know. What is the halacha? What is the assumption? So he says that the assumption is that there is no travel unless the machzik could prove that there is travel between these two locations. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Ein machzikim v'nechzei bereach. If somebody who owned the property ran away and somebody else is on that property, the halacha is that we don't say, well, he should have protested. Because since he's far away, since he had to run away, that's why he wasn't protesting. Says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yehuda, Kamrita kameh de Shmuel, when I said the halacha in front of Shmuel, Amali, so he asked, v'chi limchus b'fonav utzaruch, I don't understand Rav's opinion, asked Shmuel. If mecha shle b'fonav have a mecha, so what's the issue? Even if he's not here, he should be able to make a mecha. And the way I saw the Rishonim explained the Gemara, Tosfos explains the Gemara this way, that first there was an assumption that Rav was speaking about somebody who was bereich machmas mamon. He only ran away because of financial issues. But then Shmuel says that a bereich is every type of bereich. So now the question is, Rav was speaking about bereich machmas nefoshes, and that's why it's not a good mecha. But once Shmuel says we're talking about every bereich, so the question is, why can't he make a mecha shle b'fonav? Ask the Gemara, Rav my Kamash Malan. Says the Gemara, so what must we say is the opinion of Rav? That Mechoshla b'fanav lo yav Mechoh. And therefore, since this person is not here, that's why it's not considered a valid Mechoh. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that that is the opinion of Rav? V'amar Rav, hasn't Rav told us on Amun Aleph of today's daf that Mechoshla b'fanav have a Mechoh? So how can we say that's the explanation of Rav? Answers the Gemara, Rav, Tana the Don Kumafarish, what Rav was attempting to do on Amun Aleph was explain the Tana Kama of our Mishnah. For Lay, however, he personally, Lay Sphirale, that doesn't agree with the concept that Mechol Shlo B'Fono have a Mechol. Vika Damra, Amra B'Yehud Amar Rav, Machzikim V'Nechse B'Reich. Even somebody who ran away, does you can make a chazok on his property, and he can't say that, well, I ran away, I didn't know what's going on. Says the Gemara, Kimrita Kamet Neid Shmuel, and now says the Gemara, when this halacha was repeated to Shmuel, Amli, he said, Pshita, the Chilimchas B'Fanav U'Tzorach, does the Mecha have to be done in the presence of the machzik? We've been learning that the mechah does not have to be done in the presence of the machzik. So of course, even though he ran away and he's not here, why shouldn't the mechah not be a good mechah? And why can't you make a chazaka that way? My kamash malon, what do you want to tell me that Rav is coming to teach us the mechah shleim b'fon of a mechah, and that's why bereach you can make a chazaka in his property? But ask them, why did Rav have to teach us that already? Again, for Rav, Amar Rav Chadazimna, Allah Kamash Malan, well, Rav wants to teach us that Filu Micha B'Fnei Shnayim, She'ene Yicholim Loimaloi, that if the Micha was done in front of two people, that they can't themselves notify the Machzik of the Micha, and there are many examples. They're not here, they live far away, or they're people who are not well and they can't travel, and they can't physically travel, even though they can't come and tell the machzik, how are you on this property? There's a mechah against you. It's still going to be considered a valid mechah. Why? Because since the mechah was done in front of two people, what's going to happen is that this news will start spreading. And once this news starts spreading, the person who's on the property will hear about it. And now he's obligated to hold on to his shtar. And if he doesn't have a shtar, he can't say, well, I lost it, because you should have held on to it, says the Gemara. And what is the basis of what Shmuel is telling us? Kramer of Anan. The day Lufashle Midei the Shmuel, as I Rav Aron says, Rav Shmuel taught it to us. Micha b'fnei shnei adam shicholim loymaloi. If the mecha was done in front of two people who they themselves could tell the machzik about the mecha, have a mecha, it's considered a valid mecha. Micha b'fnei shnei bnei adam sheni yicholim loymaloi. But if the mecha was done in front of people who they themselves cannot bring that mecha, the examples that we just gave, live a mecha. And Rav holds that even though the mecha was made and said in front of people who can't travel, still Rav holds it's a valid mecha. Because chavre chavre islay, the news will travel even though the people themselves who heard the mecha will not be the ones bringing that mecha to the person who needs to hear it. Amar Rava. So after all of this discussion summarizes Rava Hilchasa. Emachzikin benachse bereach. Somebody who's not here because he had to run away, you cannot be machzik in his property. Umecha shloim b'fonov have a mecha, but a mecha that's done not in the presence of the machzik is a fail mecha. So ask the Gemara, Tarti, the halacha is that these two halachas contradict each other. If we're saying now that the mecha doesn't have to be done in front of the machzik, so then why is the mecha done by bereach not considered a valid? Why is that not a mecha? Answer Merloy Kasha. Can bereach machmas mamon? Hamberech Machos Mardan. It depends why he ran away. If he just ran away because he owes somebody money and he can't pay and that's why he ran away, so he isn't that frightened to send any messages back to where he came from. And therefore, he's going to make a macha, and the news will travel back to the machzik. But if the person ran away because he was accused that he was killed somebody, and or even if he actually killed somebody, and as we know, we're going to learn Mitzshem Masech Demakis, the Torah Kedosha says that there's a Goyel Adam, the closest relative may pursue the murderer. So that's why he's concerned about the Goyel Adam. And since he's concerned about the Goyel Adam, he's hiding. And since he's going to hide, then since he's hiding, he's not going to do anything that could reveal where he is. And since he's not going to do anything that could reveal where he is, that's why he's going to not say any mecha for fear that that may reveal where he is. The Rambam says that's talking about a person who's running away from the government, and he doesn't want the government to find out where he is. Others say that he ran away. The Rabbeinu Gershom says that he ran away because he was rebelling against the king, which is punishable by death. And now, the Rishonim point out something that we mentioned earlier in the shiur, and that is, what happens if he didn't run away at the beginning of the 3 years? He only ran away at some point during the 3 years. Say the Rishonim that still will not be a valid mecha. Why weren't you moich before you ran away? Going back to the svar that we said earlier, human nature is that people delay things. So this person thought, I have up to 3 years to be moicha. He didn't anticipate that in the middle of this time, he's going to have to run away and won't be able to make a mecha. The Ramban explains, what is the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel? Says the Ramban, the Rav's opinion is that even if he ran away because of Mardin and he's hiding, it isn't a good enough reason for him not to make a mecha. Shmuel says that yes, for the various reasons that we just gave, somebody who's bereich machmas nefashis is going to keep on hiding and not make a mecha. The Torah, quoting the Ribat Saloni, says that if somebody is in captivity, we don't expect them to make a mecha. So some explain the simple pshat is that when he's in captivity, he obviously is not getting the news. And since he's in captivity, he's not getting the news, so he won't become aware that somebody's on his property. Other Rishonim give a different explanation, the Ribat Saloni, that seems to be the opinion of the Prisha. And that is that somebody who's in captivity, even if he can become aware of what is happening, that's not what's on his mind. He's in captivity, and that's taking up all of his energy, figuring out how he's going to get out of captivity. And therefore, even if he heard the news, and even if it's a place where he could have made a mechah, there is no expectation for a person in such a situation to make a mechah.